So it's quite fitting this morning that we're looking at John 15, which is a bit autumnal, isn't it? Because it's about the gardener and the vine and the branches. Although it's fitting at any point in any season. Okay. So it's quite apt in John 15 that we hear what God does. But you know, before we do that, we're going to read it. Okay, John 15. Are we ready? Get your seatbelts on. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. So you may not have known coming into church, we're all a sort of fruit tree. We're all bearing different types of fruit. Wouldn't it be good if we could see the invisible fruit that we've all got? We're connected to God. But we're going to look at that this morning. See, I don't know if there's any keen gardeners in here today. And I'm open to any wisdom you've got to help me at home, because I do need it. But at home, we've got a large bush in our front garden. It bears lovely pink fragrant flowers. I have no clue what it is, but it's lovely all the same. But last year, we cut the bush in half and pruned it because it was too big. So you know what happened this year? It got even bigger and took over half the path. So, you know, I was deadheading the flowers, so the flowers kept coming, and it just expanded more and more, which is not what I thought would happen. I thought we chopped it in half, it'll stay nice and neat, but it's just got bigger. So, it's got bigger because last year we pruned it back, okay? Similarly, during COVID, you may have tried baking, banana bread seemed to be the thing at the time. I did make some, but the ducks didn't appreciate it. We didn't appreciate it. So I thought I'd try growing some vegetables. I've never grown vegetables in my entire life. I've never kept anything alive apart from our children. So it was an experiment. So I thought we'd do lettuce, carrots, and tomatoes. The lettuce were great. They were so nice and tasty. The carrots had lovely green tops on them and everything. But when I thought they'd be ready, I pulled them out and they were like this. They were tiny mini carrots, so even the slugs would have been hungry had they had those carrots. So that didn't go very well. I've since learnt since first service, carrots are the hardest thing to grow, so I don't feel so bad. And then I had two plants given me in COVID, the tomato plants. So I thought, we'll have a go with those. You can't really go wrong with tomatoes, can you? Well, you can. I had one plant that grew tomatoes, very small but very tasty. And I had another plant that was really lush and green, lots of leaves, looked really, really healthy, lots of growth, but no tomatoes. So why am I sharing this with you? Well, the second plant looked really healthy, but it didn't give us any fruit. The first one gave us some, and they both had a framework around them to lift up so they didn't get diseased or anything. They had water. What I didn't know is that they have suckers on them. And suckers are like branches that go off that suck the life out of the plants, and then they don't grow the fruit. So the second one, I didn't chop out the suckers. Although, to be fair, in the first one, I didn't do that either, but it's still surviving and gave me fruit. But why am I telling you this? I'm not a gardener. Number one, I'm no gardener. Number two, you need to really know what you're doing with the plants and tend them and have a bit of knowledge and information and be consistent. And number three, the slugs like the carrots and the tomatoes. So why am I sharing these experiences with you? It's tough to grow a few things well without any understanding and without sacrificing the time needed to nourish and nurture the plants. So that got me thinking, we are disciples, and God tells us we are the branches connected to him. So what is it that we need to be nourished, to flourish as disciples? What do we need to do that? And then what is the fruit that we bear as a result of that? And then how can we as disciples expect to grow in faith? But then he doesn't stop there, because there's a missional aspect to it, because he asks us to abide in him, to remain in him, and then to grow and go. So you can't just grow and stop. You've got to go and do something. So John in the Bible shares with us that God is the gardener, and he's in control. Thank goodness for that. He's in control of our growth. So he provides the rich nutrients that we need in order for us to glow and flourish. Now, in the reading, we learnt a lot about fruit. It said we are to bear fruit. We are to have more fruit. We are to bear much fruit. And then fruit that will last. So it doesn't stop. It's a continual process. So fruit is the evidence of our mature faith and a deepening relationship in God. And that only comes about when we're connected to Jesus. And that creates in us an innate desire to serve God, but also to serve others. Because that's what he said to us. You know, we're not here just for ourselves. We're here for good works. Jesus is the true vine. And there's a direct connection between the vine and the gardener. So God and Jesus. The vine, Jesus cannot do anything, he can't be effective without being connected to God. We are the branches and we can't be effective. We can't bear fruit without remaining and abiding and being in constant connection to Jesus. He says in Scripture, apart from Jesus, we bear nothing that brings glory to him. So we might do stuff, but if we're not connected to Jesus, actually it's not going to bring him glory. That's self-sufficiency, isn't it? So what's the context of this passage? We know that Jesus spoke to his disciples literally probably on the last night before he was going to be crucified. So he was going to be taken away from the disciples. So his words had a lasting impact, and he wanted to encourage the disciples. He uses the picture of a vine because there were grapevines everywhere in Israel, but also on the temple doors, there were symbols of a vine. Now, the vine in Israel was a recognized symbol of the Messiah. So Jesus, we know, is the true vine, and we must be rooted in him in order to bear fruit. We're in the new covenant community, so our first identification is in Jesus himself. There are many pictures throughout the Bible that have been used to give association to God and Jesus. And here we've got one, God and the person in charge, like God, the gardener, and Jesus as the vine, and we are the branches. Now, if you come to first service, some of you may come to first service, but there has been a multiplication of babies. which could be COVID-related or it could not be COVID-related. But we have a lot of babies. And we know babies need something inside their mother to grow, don't they? So they are connected via an umbilical cord, okay? So that baby depends entirely upon the mother. So it has its nourishment delivered by the cord. It has ambient temperature control. They don't have to worry about getting cold because they've got perfect temperature in there. Safety, protection, immunity, and antibodies, all delivered via the umbilical cord, okay? So when we look at us being the branches and Jesus being the vine, it's similar. We have all now got invisible umbilical cords. Can't see them, but we're all connected to Jesus, and it would be such a picture, wouldn't it, if we could see those cords, but also not just the ones going up, but the ones going out to each other as well. Because it's not just an up-down thing, it's an out as well. So, Jesus was about to depart. He was going to go and be crucified. And he wanted the disciples to know that they would remain attached to him and connected to him and him to them. God is the one who cultivates and manages the vine. And as disciples, we, all of us, are in covenant relationship with God and Jesus via the Holy Spirit. But what do you think we need as disciples in order to be nourished, to flourish? What do we need? Where I work in a lot of children's centres, there are multidisciplinary teams. So midwives, health visitors, social workers, nurseries, children's centre staff teams. And we operate on Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You may have seen it. I know we haven't got slides. It's like a pyramid, and there are certain things that have to be in place for a young child to grow, for anybody to grow. If either one of those things are out of kilter, it will affect the development. So obviously we've got love and safety and food, and if you don't have things in certain orders, it will make development different. 16 years or so ago, it might have even been longer than that, so those that aren't quite there yet, you will be able to YouTube it. We looked at some orphanages in Romania where they had these pictures and not just pictures, but they were babies and children and adults still in cots because they were not looked after. There wasn't enough people to look after them. So they weren't fed regularly. Their development was stunted. They were never out of their cots. They weren't cared for or loved. They quite often showed deep psychological behaviour of rocking, and because their development and those needs were not met. So for ourselves, in order for those people to flourish in those orphanages, they needed to be taken out of that environment and given everything they needed to have a surviving good chance to grow and flourish. For us, we've got it quite plain and clear. We've got something in verse 2 that says, "He cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit." So branches that aren't bearing fruit are taken away as not properly connected to the energy source or the life-giving sap that comes up through the roots and goes out into the branches that produces the leaves and things. We know we're connected to Jesus through his death, but also his resurrection, also his ascension, and we have the Holy Spirit. So we've got no excuse to not be growing and flourishing. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, he's our protector, he's our warrior, and he's our all-in-all, giving us sustenance. So God pumps life into all of us. He gives us what we need. Some of us might like the odd McDonald's or the odd fast food, but generally when you've had that food, a couple of hours later, are you hungry again? Yeah. And it's the same for us in the Bible, isn't it? If we only take snippets and don't give time to it to nourish ourselves spiritually, we're going to be hungry. But God does say to us in Galatians 5, there is evidence of godly character in each one of us through the fruit of the Spirit. So do you know what those are? We've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Excellent. So we've got those. When we're connected to Jesus, these are grown within us. That's not just the only fruit that we have. Being a prayerful warrior is also a fruit. Helping other people in community is a fruit. So it's nothing that we can do by ourselves. Jesus is the source of the nourishment, and he lavishes us with a deep love, meeting our needs and providing us with every good thing. So it's not just any fruit that we bear. If we could look at each other and see apples and pears and oranges and lemons, it'd be great, wouldn't it? We all have different fruit for different things. But it's wholesome and of long-lasting impact. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. One of the commentaries references something to think about, and there's an ancient verb, Greek verb, aereo. Not to be confused with Oreo biscuit, aereo, okay? And it is translated as takes away or lift. Up. So the idea that the Father lifts up unproductive vines off the ground, as was common in the ancient practices of vine growing, those caring for ancient grapevines made sure to lift them up off the ground so the sun would give them the best chance to produce some fruit. Me, with my tomato plants, I made sure they had a cane and a framework so that they got the best chance to grow. You see, if I didn't, and you gardeners will know, if the stuff on the ground is going to rot, it's going to get disease, it's not going to be helpful, is it? So if you can lift it up, it's got the best chance. So sometimes we might feel like we're flopping in our Christian faith and journey, but Jesus will lift us up and he will give us what we need to give us the best chance of growing as long as we remain connected to him. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit also can be referred to as cleanse. And in this Bible, in the reading we've read today, it does say that God's word is in us, so we are cleansed. We are already clean, so we don't have to worry about not being clean. And the vine left to itself will produce a good deal of unproductive growth. Much like the tomato leaves and the plants with the suckers, not all growth is good growth, is it? Not all good growth is good. So for maximum fruitfulness, extensive pruning is essential. Dead wood is worse than fruitlessness. For dead wood can harbour disease, it can harbour decay. And God removes the dead wood in our lives and from us personally, from our families, from our church, so that we, mere human disciples, can be disciplined. And we don't like being disciplined, do we? You know, those of us that have had children or are around children in church will know that when they're tiny, they stick like glue to the parent, don't they? They are wrapped round your leg and you can't shake them off and you can't get rid of them. Not that you want to get rid of them, but even a baby at 8 months old has that stranger danger, don't they? But as a child, if a child is, you know, constantly hitting people or constantly taking things from others, that's not the behaviour we want, is it? So we make sure we discipline them so that they learn the way to be in society. And Jesus is the same with us. He wouldn't want us to keep repeating a behaviour and not check us. So pruning is not sometimes pleasant, but he has to do it. And you might have heard the phrase of tough love or be cruel to be kind. Basically, I'm not really sure about this cruel to be kind, but it basically means you want to stop a behaviour so it doesn't have consequences later. So if you can check it early on, then you can change and modify that behaviour for better behaviour. So that's what Jesus does to us. If we know that we need to lose weight for health reasons, you know, we cut down on the sugar, the salt, the fat and all those things. Now, it's not nice to do that sometimes, is it? Because all the good food has all that in it. So it's hard to do the pruning sometimes. But God has to prune us. Otherwise, it's like the umbilical cord. It can be severed, and then we've got no growth. And, you know, the vine, not that I know anything about vines, but from reading, they're quite prolific in their growth, and they shoot off in all directions. So you have to keep trimming them away to grow them in a certain specific way. If one of those vines gets broken, it's very hard, but you can graft it back in. So likening that to us in our experience, there are times we're all not imperfect. We're imperfect, aren't we? We're not perfect. So if we do things, sometimes God has to graft us back in. So it can be done. But actually, the best thing is to not break away in the first place. Yeah? To keep that umbilical cord connection. God is a loving Father, a good Father, and he wants the best for us. There will be times when we experience his discipline, but we know it's because he loves us. And how do we know he loves us? Because John 3:16 lets us know that. And we all know that verse, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes will have lasting eternal life. So we know there are no suckers there. He loves us, we love him, we love others because of his love for us. But we all have suckers in our life. We might not realise it. And you might think, well, I come to church, I do worship practice, I go to small group, I help out, we feed the family, I do something in the community, I do toddlers, do this, do the other. But there are suckers in every one of our lives. And it affects our continual growth. Ultimately, like my tomato plants, the suckers drain the nourishment out of the plant and it weakens it. So our jobs and hobbies can often crowd out God to the margins of life. Work and leisure are lead among the things that take us away from God. They consume so much of our energy that sometimes we can have very little left for church, for Bible study, for serving and sharing our faith story. Then, when we need our faith, we wonder why our character and our conduct is not as they ought to be, and why no one is drawn to Jesus because of our example, through our life and witness. Not that Jesus needs to do that, but he chooses to do that. We become numb and dim as a result. Sometimes we have to cut away some temporal things so that eternal things can increase. So with God's help, we may have to trim away some stuff to prioritise godly growth. So maybe something to reflect on when you get home, you know, or chat to a friend or in your families. What are some of the things that we might need to cut away? How much time do we spend with Jesus? How often do we immerse ourselves in reading the Word, the Bible? How often do we pray? How often are we connected in Christian community with each other? And then think and compare it to, how much time do you spend watching the TV? How much time do you spend on screen? How much time are you playing games? What about your hobbies? Have they taken over? Now, none of those things are bad in and of themselves. And they can be very good for us because we need to keep healthy both physically, mentally, spiritually. But we need to keep it in balance and prioritise our connection with God and each other. Now, I can see there are screens going on here. We've all got mobile phones usually. We might have an iPad, might have TVs in the house. But what happens when the screen gets unplugged? What happens when the battery drains? It's dead. You can't make it undead unless you plug it back in to the power source. Is that right? And we are going to be having some power blackouts, they say. So we might need to think about this going forward. But if it dies, the only way to get it back to life is to plug it in. We're the same. Without a fresh new infilling of the Holy Spirit daily, we too will die. If we choose to neglect immersing ourselves in the Word, in prayer, in obedient service, in his daily presence, we're going to die. And it might not be very noticeable to start with, because you might think, oh, I'm too tired today, I can't read the Word. Oh, I'm not going to pray today, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then before you realise, 3 or 4 weeks have gone, or a few months have gone, and then you're thinking, well, hang on a minute. What about my connection with God? Why is my Christian conduct and character not the same? It's because you've cut your umbilical cord. You've cut your power source, and you're dead. But God can graft us back in. Hallelujah. We wouldn't choose to not eat or drink. Is there anybody that's on a fast and not eating or drinking? No. I couldn't do that. I love my food and I love water. But It's the same, isn't it? In order to keep our physical bodies healthy, we need to eat the right foods, whatever that is for you. You need to wash your body, teenagers. You need showers. They are good for you, I promise. They're good for you, okay? But we know if we don't do those things, we can be quite smelly. And then that leads to sort of conditions and skin diseases and, you know, lots of different things. But God tells us in his word that we are already clean. So sometimes he just needs to lift us up so that we can get some growth. Sometimes he needs to chop the branch off because it's dead wood. But he does it for our good. So what is the fruit that we bear? Do you know what fruit it is that you bear? He provides the nourishment to allow us to flourish in our Christian conduct and our Christian character. And from the tiniest tots in church, they learn it, they see it, they observe it in us. We continually grow in the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're already clean when we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, when we know and seek his forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. We're not perfect, and God knows that, and he lavishes us with love, and he gives us everything for success. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to flourish. So abiding, do you know what abiding means? It means remaining, staying close to the power source. Just bear with a sec. You all know the Apostle Paul had a frog in the throat or a thorn in his side. Well, I've got a frog in my throat. So as we abide, we're cultivated and we remain in connection with Jesus. He says in verse 4, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. As we fill our minds with the word of Christ, as we pray and as we serve, then we will begin to have the mind of Christ. Somebody be praying on it. Sorry for people at home. Try not to deafen you. When you were little, did you learn scripture by verse, by rote? So then when you need it, it comes to mind. And that's what Jesus says is, my word is already in you. So when there's a difficult situation and you're struggling, then that comes to mind. Equally, if you're celebrating new birth, some testimony that's come true and God's prayed about that and it's come through, you praise to God. Thankful scripture and praise comes to mind. So the word of God is in us. But it just doesn't stop there. So we know we're lavished. We know that we are nourished. We also know that we flourish. But does it stop there? There's a missional aspect to it. And we are grown to go, to do more. You see, when you have fruit, you cut it up, there's seeds in the fruit, isn't there? So the fruit is continually capable of reproducing itself. So we as Christians are having that fruit from God. He is growing that within us so that we can reproduce. It's not just for us and it stops there. Our faith may be personal, but it's not private. It's to share. And God needs to see that in us. You see, if you're at work or wherever you are, if you do a certain behaviour that is not reflective of Jesus in you, your workmates will see it. And they will tell you about it as well. I've had that myself. You know, ooh, I thought you were a Christian. I'm like, I am, and I'm imperfect, and God forgives me. And yeah, we do get things wrong sometimes. But they will let you know. And equally, you know, if we swear, if we take God's name in vain, if we don't, you know, do the things that God wants us to be doing, people will notice and will start to dim our light. Now, fireflies are attracted to the light, aren't they? A bit like moths as well. They're attracted. Wherever you go, they're buzzing around the light. We are to be like those fireflies. We are the light to attract others to Jesus. Not that he needs us. He doesn't. But he chooses to use us. So our Christian character and conduct and Christlikeness is the seed in us that will continue to give out so that others are drawn to him. But the only way that can happen is if we keep connected to God and to each other. You see, at KBC, you know the four P's. I'm not going to ask you about them, so don't worry about it. But the four P's, but we're focusing on the priorities. At Kingswood here, we have priorities, also known as the reasons why we do what we do, why we exist. So here at Kingswood Baptist Church, we are a place to grow in loving Jesus and encountering the presence of God. We are a place to grow for living for Jesus as a follower of Jesus. We are a place to grow and make space to lead people to Jesus. How do we do that? We remain connected. We remain with the umbilical cord. It's a spiritual umbilical cord for all of us that goes up, it goes out, it goes down to other people. We are the light that would attract others to him. Why would we settle for a chicken McNugget when you can have a bit of steak? Why would you settle for an apple pie when you can have a whole host of apples? Why? I mean, the apple pie is good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, we need to settle for more sometimes. And God might be trying to prune little bits of us. He might be trying to say to us, you need to stop this so that we can do that. Or you need to be in contact with someone so that they're aware of my love for them. The fragrance we give is what Jesus gives to us. And I want you to be encouraged. Be encouraged in these priorities. The prophecy of dig out your ditches, get ready. We can only do that if our priorities are right, aren't we? So if you spend, 3 hours a night watching TV, I'm not saying don't watch TV for 3 hours, but maybe for 2.5 hours, watch TV and then do 30 minutes and then try and work it. I'm not saying don't ever do those things that you enjoy, but if we do those at the expense of this, we're going to be like an iPad without a plug or a battery. We're going to be dead. So as the worship team come up and save my voice, I want you to be reminded about abiding in the way to become more Christ-like. Remain in a continual state of God's presence. We are lavished with love. We are nourished with an abundance of sustenance, of peace and strength. We're nourished to flourish. We're built for success. God wants us to flourish. We're to trust God as we grow into the front lines of our work and our home and our community. So let's